In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
The Holy Bible is full of stories, wonderful stories about wonderful personalities. And there are many in the Old Testament and New Testament personalities of women of faith that we can learn from, such as Deborah the judge, or Abigail who saved her husband and saved David, Esther, Ruth, and many more. And first of all, of course, the mother of the Lord, Saint Mary herself. Today we will speak about four wonderful women of faith, and we will try to learn from each of them one or two things. These four women were mentioned in the gospel readings of last night, this morning in the liturgy, and in the Acts of the Apostles. They are the bleeding woman, the Canaanite woman, the sinner woman whose reading was just read in the gospel, and maybe it's more appropriate to call her the repentant woman, for we are all sinners, but the clever ones are the ones who repent. And finally, Tabitha or Dorcas, whose story we heard in the Acts of the Apostles. First of all, the bleeding woman. This woman, for those who heard her story last night or read last night's Vespers, we will review real quickly. First of all, we should note that her story is intermingled with another story. The Lord healed her, but he was in the process of going to raise the daughter of Jairus. And the daughter of Jairus was 12 years old, and she was just at the point of death. In fact, she had died already. And her father, who was the ruler of the synagogue, was coming, pleading with the Lord that he may come and heal his daughter, or raise his daughter from death. As the Lord was going to the house of Jairus to raise his daughter from death, suddenly we found this bleeding woman, without asking the Lord, just came and touched the hem of his garment, having full faith, telling herself that if only I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed of my disease. And she was cured. And the Lord, as you know, did something which appeared kind of funny, because he was going with the whole crowd, everyone touching him. And then when he felt power go out from him, he stopped the crowd, he stopped the procession, and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples, as you know, said to him, "Lord, everyone's all around you touching you, and you're saying, who's touching you? Everyone's touching you." He said, "No, I felt power go out from me." And this woman, who was must have been a bit terrified to be called out, admitted that she had touched the Lord, and she told her whole story. Now let's put ourselves in her shoes for a minute. She had been bleeding for 12 years. She had a severe disease, and in her culture at the time, she would be considered very impure, maybe just a step above a leper. No one would dare touch her. She would be despised in society. And she had spent, if you read in the other Gospels, you would know that she had spent all her money, all her livelihood on physicians trying to be cured, obviously. But nothing worked. In fact, her condition worsened. Then she heard about Jesus, and she had full faith that he'd be able to heal her. But she considered herself unclean and did not want to touch the Lord with her impurity. So she said, "Maybe if I just touch the edge of his garments, I will be healed." And sure enough, as you all know, she was healed. So what we want to learn from this wonderful woman is that we too can touch the Lord. We too can touch the Lord if we have full faith in him. But we don't want to touch him like the crowd was touching him all around him and not benefiting anything from being in contact. We want to be in communion, in touch with the Lord, and have a deep relationship with him. So from the first woman, we will learn that we too, having faith in the Lord, can touch the Lord. If only I may touch the hem of his garment, I may be healed. But here we are called not just to touch the hem of his garment, we are here called to touch him, to taste him, to take him, and to trust in his ability to save us. So from her, we learn faith and to be able to touch the Lord. Next, we have the story of the Canaanite woman. If you were here early morning, you would have heard in the morning gospel her story. And she was a woman from the land of Canaan, known for living an ungodly life. Those who are far from God are naturally close to who? From far from the Lord's Holy Spirit, then naturally I would be close, God forbid, to the evil spirits. So not surprisingly, we find that the lady, the woman from Canaan, had a daughter who was demon-possessed. And as the scripture tells us, she wasn't just demon-possessed, as if this isn't bad enough. The scripture says her daughter was severely demon-possessed. Now, I wonder, does anyone know of any, or has anyone seen anyone who is demon-possessed? Perhaps you haven't seen any in the land here, but in the Middle East, I'm sure there's many stories, and you could see YouTube videos of exorcisms where the Blessed Fathers pray and the monks pray for people and the devils depart from them. But is anyone here around you in this country demon-possessed? Perhaps you would say, no, we don't see any people who are cutting themselves or throwing themselves in fire or water here. So the easy answer is to say, no one is demon-possessed here. But in fact, there's different types of being possessed by the devil. Because first of all, let's look at the opposite. If I don't want to be possessed by the devil, then I want to be possessed, or let's say more properly, led, instead of by evil spirits, I want to be led by God's Holy Spirit. So a spiritual person does not allow himself to follow the devil, but he follows God's Holy Spirit. His mind, his body, and soul are led by his spirit, which is led by the Holy Spirit. On the opposite extreme, if I'm not led by God's Holy Spirit, I could say, well, I could lead myself. But don't anyone trick yourselves into thinking that you could lead yourself. If God's not leading you, then you're being led by something else. And that something else, unfortunately, could be an evil spirit. So if I'm letting my eyes be led by something other than God's Holy Spirit, then my eyes are being led, or my eyes are being put into bondage, or my eyes are being enslaved by an evil spirit. If I'm letting my tongue speak bad words, then my tongue is led by evil spirits. If I'm letting my feet go to improper places, then my feet are leading me and are leading my senses and my thoughts and my eyes to go to things which are improper, then I'm being led by evil spirits. So there are those who appear outwardly that they're fine, they're sane, they're not, nothing's wrong with them. But inside, they know themselves that they are being led, not always by God's Holy Spirit, so therefore they are sometimes led by evil spirits. Even worse than this, I could be doing what I just said and letting my eyes wander, letting my ears wander, my thoughts wander, my heart wander, but refusing to admit that there's anything wrong. Then this is the worst case of being led by evil spirit, because not only am I sick to the point of death, but I'm refusing to admit it. So how can I come for a cure? How can I run to the Lord and ask him to cure me or try to touch the hem of his garment, that I may stop my bleeding, which is leading me to the point of death? So there are many that are led by evil spirits, some who admit it, some who it's obvious. The first case that you may see, maybe in Egypt, where people are hurting themselves or crying out, that's the easiest case to cure, because everyone sees that there's something wrong there, so they can bring them and lead them back to the Lord. Back to this woman, the Canaanite woman, whose daughter was severely demon-possessed and tormented. What did she do? She heard about the Lord, and she cried out after him, "Have mercy on me, O son of David." And the Lord did something kind of funny that maybe he does with each one of us at some point in our life, which is he didn't answer her. It appeared as if he ignored her. He didn't say anything to her. And what did she do? Some of us may give up. "I tried. He didn't answer me." Or even worse, we may complain. "Ah, where is he? You know, he says he's here, but when I cry to him, he doesn't answer." But she didn't do any of those things. She persisted in her prayers, and she persisted in humility in calling after the Lord. Now, the disciples, I'm not sure when it says, first of all, the Lord himself finally answered him, because the disciples urged him to send her away. And I'm not sure if they were interceding on her behalf, saying, "Send her away and give her what she wants," or just make her stop crying out for us, she's making a commotion. But in any case, the disciples now would not say, "Send any of us away." They would intercede for us. The Lord then answered again and said, "I wasn't sent for her. I was only sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So you would think now, you know, it wasn't just he was silent. Now he's clearly saying, "I'm not sent for you. And perhaps some of us at this point would give up and go away. But she, in all humility, ran and worshipped him. And she said, "Lord, help me." But then he goes even more severe in his tone with her. And he says, "It's not good to take the children's bread and give it to the little dogs." So here, you know, if it was said to any of us, you know, I'd respond. If Abuna said to me, "It's not good for me to take the bread and give it to the little dog," I'd say, "You're calling me a dog? You know, I'm coming to you asking for help, and this is how you treat me?" But instead, she answered in all humility, saying, "Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table." So she did not reject the accusation of being like little dogs, because she was, and her daughter and the whole country where she dwelt was living an ungodly life. She didn't take it as, you know, "You hurt my feelings. You hurt my emotions." She wasn't emotional. She was very logical in her response and very humble and kept insisting that she wants help. And of course, as you all know, the Lord gave her this wonderful response, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed that very hour. So her daughter was cured of the sickness, which is not just a sickness. The devil or devils who were controlling her life were cast out. From this wonderful woman, we learn that our faith needs to lead me to be humble and to humbly pray. Humbly pray, persistent prayer, not complaining, but persisting. So if we review real quickly what we learned from the first two women, we could say faith, touch, and humility. And there's a, you could think of it as those three letter FTH, faith, touch, and humility. Faith in the Lord. Who has faith in the Lord? Of course, everyone has faith in the Lord here, or else you wouldn't be coming to the Lord's house. But is faith a binary thing? You either have faith or you don't have faith. Of course, we all have faith, but we all have faith that needs to grow more and more. So we have faith, and we ask the Lord to increase our faith. When we have faith and we ask the Lord to increase our faith, and the Lord is here, we have to come and touch and take of the Lord and taste the Lord and trust that He is the only one who is able to help us in our day-to-day life practically. And of course, we have to do this with humility, with a humble heart, and pray. So from the bleeding woman and the Canaanite woman, we learn FTH, faith, touch, and humility. Next, we have the story that was just read to us from the gospel about the repentant woman or the sinner woman. And as you see in the picture and as you heard in the gospel, she washed the Lord's feet with her tears. She wiped them with her glory, the hair of her head. And she anointed the Lord's feet with perhaps all her possessions she spent in the anointing to pour the perfume and the scent over the Lord's feet. And she did all this, why? Because out of her heart, she loved the Lord. She saw something in the Lord and thought that perhaps He is the only one who's going to accept me. He is the only one who would let me come near to Him and touch Him. And she did this in all boldness, not privately, but she heard He was going to a Pharisee's house. And the Pharisees are perhaps, you know, not known for their mercy. They're kind of a tough group of people. But she entered in all boldness, didn't care who was looking or who was going to say something against her. She was already well known. Perhaps the Pharisee was well known as well in the city for his righteousness and his outward appearing to be godly. She was well known for her sins. She was well known in the city as a sinner, as the Pharisee said in his mind. This man, if he was a prophet, would know. Even I know. The whole city knows she's a sinner. And he's letting her touch him. But in fact, that's the reason the Lord came, for sinners, not for those who think they're righteous. So as you heard in the liturgy gospel, she came and she said what? She didn't say anything. Her actions said it all. Her actions clearly showed that her heart was full of love towards the Lord. And as you heard in the gospel, according to the measure of her love, she was granted an abundant forgiveness for her many sins. And the Lord says to her, He says to Simon, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Perhaps you could contemplate another time and think about putting yourself in her shoes and or putting yourself in the shoes of the Pharisee. The Pharisee to the people appeared that he's righteous. Do you want to appear to the people to be righteous? You could do like the Pharisee. She to the people appeared like she was in need of forgiveness. She was in need. She was a sinner. And the Lord saw her love and forgave her sins. It really doesn't matter what the people think. If they think of me as a sinner or a saint, it only matters what's on the inside. And the Lord knows what's on inside of me has corruption and needs to be healed. So if I try to hide it from all of you, then great, you might think that I'm a great person. But I can't hide it from myself, or even if I hide it from myself, I can't hide it from the Lord. So there's really no point me wasting my time in hiding all my sins from everyone here. Because we are all at the end of the day the same. We all have weaknesses. We're all struggling with one sin or another. It really doesn't matter if I think someone's righteous or not. My opinion doesn't count. I should go to the Lord like she did with my tears of repentance in order to be forgiven. From this wonderful woman, we learn that loving the Lord leads me to repent and return to the Lord. And finally, we'll touch real quickly on the story that was read to us in the Acts of the Apostle about a wonderful woman named Tabitha or Dorcas. And this woman was rich materialistically. She was also rich spiritually, and she was also gifted with many talents. And as we heard, she used her talents. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, and she used her talents to help the widows who were around her to sew clothing, to make clothes for them, to the point that when it came time for her to depart, when she died, the widows and those around her couldn't stand it, and they sent to St. Peter that perhaps, as they heard, the Lord had given his apostles power to heal the sick and to raise the dead. Perhaps he could come and pray on her and raise her. And as you heard in the story of the Acts, St. Peter came and he prayed on her. And St. Peter, who was with the Lord when the Lord took Peter, James, and John to raise the daughter of Jairus, St. Peter learned from his master and was given from the Lord the ability to also raise from the dead. And she was raised from the dead. Now, I put myself in her shoes on that. In all honesty, I would say, I would have rather they left me. The Lord had taken me. Now they're bringing me back. But in any case, she was risen from the dead to do more good works, more good deeds, and to help those who are around her. From her, we can learn, just like we learned from the sinful woman, that loving the Lord is important. Loving the Lord, though, doesn't only lead me to repent and return to the Lord. Loving the Lord should also lead me to give. Give to the Lord, give to the Lord's house, give to the Lord's family, his church, and the poor. So just like we summarized from the first two women, our learnings from the first two women was faith, touch, and humility. From these next two women, we learn LRG, love the Lord leads me to repent, and 2G, give. Give generously, and as important or more important than giving is forgiving. If I'm giving everything and yet I'm holding in my heart a grudge against someone who perhaps intentionally or unintentionally hurt me, then the Lord is not going to accept my gift. If I give every last penny and the shirt on my back, and yet I'm holding against my brother, then the Lord has told us time and again, that's not an acceptable offering. That's not an acceptable gift if it's not preceded with forgiveness. And we should do as much as we are able to do to forgive and to reconcile with our brothers and sisters. So if we summarize real quickly, what did we learn from the first two women? From the woman of last night who had been bleeding at the point of death for 12 years, we learn that we have faith in the Lord that allows us to touch the Lord. And we have more grace than they did back then. We have the Lord himself offered on the altar for us to come and touch and taste and take and trust that he can save our lives. We also learn that in addition to faith, we learn to be humble as the Canaanite woman humbled and was persistent in her prayers to the Lord. We learn from the repentant woman that we need to love the Lord, and loving the Lord leads me to return to Him. I can't say I love my family and I'm happy to be away from my family. If I love my family, I return to my family. I'm happy to be with my family. You can't love the Lord from a distance. He didn't love us from a distance. He didn't love us from heaven. Yeah, I love you down there. He came and He died for us. So after Him loving us in such an intimate fashion, the least we could do is return to Him. And love, just like faith, there's no, yeah, I love the Lord, I'm good. There's love, and then there's more love. And He, just to be sure, told us that you have to love the Lord your heart with all, love your Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and just so that we don't forget, and your neighbor as yourself, as we said concerning forgiveness. Love the Lord, L, repent and return to the Lord, the R, G, give to the Lord, give generously and forgive. Happy Thanksgiving, glory be to God forever.
Κυρία Λέισον, Κυρία Λέισον, χαινούμε.